Colossians chapter number 1 and verse number 13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. We're going to preach a message this morning on the preeminence of Christ, the preeminence of Christ. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this portion of Scripture and this great reminder, Lord, as we enter into the holiday season. Lord, may we keep Christ in the forefront of everything that we do. And Lord, long past December, as we now look and we stand at the threshold of a new year in 2015, may we keep Christ preeminent and in the forefront of everything that we do, Lord. And I pray, dear God, that you would give us insight and understanding to these scriptures, Lord. And Lord, I pray that our church would be a church that remains true and faithful to the belief that Christ, above all, must be lifted up. Help us, Lord, to dedicate ourselves to that end. And Lord, as we lift up the Savior this morning, you said, Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. So Lord, as we preach on the preeminence of Christ, I pray if there's one here that's never received him as their personal Savior, they will make that decision this morning. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I've had a good time doing what I've asked you to do, and that's to take the God Simple Plan of Salvation tracks and remind people, as we're going into the holiday season, remind people that it's really all about Jesus. But folks, it's not just Christmas that's all about Jesus. It's not just December that's all about Jesus. January ought to be all about Jesus. And February ought to be all about Jesus. And March ought to be all about Jesus. And all of 2015 ought to be all about Jesus. I'm going to preach this morning on the preeminence of Christ. I haven't been able to get away from Brother Joe's testimony the other night where he mentioned to us that he passed this to a waitress at one of our local restaurants and reminded her of Jesus Christ and him being the reason for the season. And she kind of paused and looked puzzled and then said something along the lines of, oh yeah, I think wasn't he supposed to be born during this time of year? As if, you know, that was an afterthought, something she had forgotten. I don't know if you've noticed, but every holiday we have that celebrates an aspect of the Lord Jesus Christ, the world has devised a plan to steal our minds away from him and distract us into thinking about something else. Folks, we're going to this spring celebrate Easter. Let me say this. Please look up here and listen. You know what? Easter's not about the Easter bunny. And it's not about, and I've always not understood the whole concept of a bunny rabbit laying eggs. I can't quite comprehend that. And colored eggs on top of that and all of that. But whatever. I'm just saying, hey, let's make Easter about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, you know, we get into Thanksgiving, the season we just went through. And you know what I noticed? Did you notice this? There's more talk about Black Friday than there is Thanksgiving Thursday. And again, it's almost as if the world can't stand the fact that we've set aside a day to be thankful to God. And so we're going to bombard the minds of Americans with things that they need to buy and that type of thing and try to distract them from just stopping and thanking the Lord. Black Friday has now started into Thanksgiving Day and it's encroached upon Thanksgiving Day. And there's people that are saying that within the next year or so that they'll do a Black Friday on Thursday and just make it a shopping day. What's happening, preacher? What's happening? I'll tell you what, we have a godless society. There's the prince and power of the air. The devil's very determined to try to keep people from thinking about the Lord. And now we're going to go into Christmas. And it's already started. And folks, you know what? The devil's going to do everything he can in the next 31 days to try to get you to think about anything and everything except the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, In response to that, I want to walk to the pulpit of Blessed Hope Baptist Church and say, let's lift him up. Let's remember it's about Jesus. Let's proclaim his name. Let's talk about Jesus. Let's share Jesus. Let's put the spotlight on the Savior. Let's hit some reset buttons. And folks, I can't and you can't control what this whole world does. But we can control our own lives, and we can control what happens in our family, and we can control our schedule. And so let's just make everything Christ-centered. And I talked about we can't control things. Little boy, and I don't know where he got this, but a little boy, men were standing there with me. They can testify to it. A little boy walked up the steps and stopped in front of me coming off the bus and looked up at me and said, "You're God." Like that. Just like that. "You're God." And I have never had that happen in my life. And I said, "Oh, no, son, I'm not. I'm the preacher. I'm the preacher that preaches about God, but I'm not God." And he said, "No, you're God." And I said, "Son, if I was God, Washington, D.C. wouldn't exist right now, all right? I would have torched that thing a long time ago. You don't want to hand me that kind of power. That would not be a good thing. There'd be blood on the walls, man. I mean, you know, I would not. No, there's one God. There's one God. And folks, we want to talk about Jesus this morning. We want to lift him up. Let me have you look back at the scriptures. Verse number 16. You're going to see a little phrase here. And if you were to go and study the same portion of scripture in the original Greek language, you'd see a little three-letter word, P-A-S, pos, and it crops up all over in this portion of scripture. Pos is translated all things. Now look at verse number 16. For by him all things for by him were all things created. At the end of verse things, all things, pos, all things were created by him and for him. Colossians 1:17, for he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And then verse number 18, for he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. And then in verse number 20, the Bible says, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be in things in heaven or things in earth or things in heaven. Now, if you just grab those truths and just kind of collect them, if that word all things was highlighted on your page, you would see this in this portion of scripture. Watch this. All things were created by Christ, but not just, that's not where it stops. All things were created for Christ. Now, we also then learn that all things post-date Christ. What do you mean? That means that Christ is God. See, folks, I believe in a triune God. You say, "Preacher, you just said a minute ago there's one God." Well, that's what the Bible teaches us. There's one God. And he chooses to reveal himself to us in three distinct personalities: God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So, preacher, I don't know if I understand that. Well, join the club. Nobody understands God, all right? Aren't you glad you have a God that's so great that we can't comprehend him with our human minds? And so we have one God who chooses to reveal himself to us in three distinct personalities: the Trinity, the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And Jesus Christ postdates all things. He was involved in the creation of the world, and so he postdates all things. All things, goes on to say, consist by Christ. So all things were created by Christ. All things were created for Christ. All things postdate Christ. All things consist by Christ, which means this: it's Jesus that's holding this whole thing together. Every once in a while, someone will say, "God is dead." I'll say, "No, it's not." How do you know? Because this thing would have blown up to a million smithereens if it wasn't for God holding the thing together, Jesus Christ holding the thing together. We'd be reduced to molecules. We'd be reduced to nothingness. No, he's alive and well. Thank you very much. All things rank less in importance than Jesus Christ. Did you get that? Verse number 18, all things he might have the preeminence. And that's what we're going to focus on this morning. That means that Jesus is more important than anything and everything, and that he's to be above anything and everything, and he's going to be before anything and everything, and all things were reconciled by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now let me focus on this phrase this morning. Let me preach on this subject. In all things he might have the preeminence. Preeminence simply means this: all things foremost in time, place, order, and importance in all areas, in all arenas, Jesus Christ is to have the preeminence. Now look right up here. Watch this. That means Christmas time. That means nothing this month ought to be more important in your life and your family life than the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, folks, it's his birthday. It's about him. Hey, folks, listen, watch this. It's about a manger. And it's about a stable. And it's about a star that was prepared for a king that was to come. The Savior of the world was born. That's what the Christmas season is all about. It's not about Santa Claus. It's not about the elves. It's not about toys. It's not about shopping. Certainly not about Black Friday. It's about Jesus. And I'm not against all those other things. And I'm fine. Go have a good time. But not at the expense of forgetting about who is to have the preeminence. In all things, he might have the preeminence. This verse is found in a letter to a local New Testament church. In the context of the verse, we see that Christ is declared the head of the body, the church. Now, folks, listen to me. Let me say this. I wish that in every home in America, Christ would have the preeminence. Wouldn't that be something? If in every home in America, Christ would have the preeminence, but I think all of us know here that that's not happening. I'd like to say, think this, that in every school, Jesus Christ would have the preeminence. But the sad thing about it is, and it's just the opposite has happened in America, and now he's been kicked out of our public school system. And I'd like to think in every place of business, he has the preeminence. And can I say this? There are some Christian business people in this area. And you know what? You go to their business, it doesn't take you long looking around and talking to them and seeing things. And you figure out pretty quick, Jesus is important to them. And they're not ashamed of it. And they don't try to hide it. And I'm glad about that. But you and I both know that Jesus Christ in most businesses does not have the preeminence. I'd like to think that Jesus Christ would have the preeminence in our government. But we all know that certainly is not happening. Sure not happening. But if none of those things happen, preacher, we can't control what happens in every home, in every school, in every place of business, in our government. We can't control all those things. But folks, here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, there's one thing we can make sure of. And that's that Jesus Christ has at least one place where he is preeminent, and that is at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, Jasonville, Indiana. I think if there's any place that Jesus ought to have the preeminence, it ought to be at the church house. It ought to be at the Church of Jesus Christ. Now, there's a way we can make sure that that happens here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I don't know if there's one secret. If someone were to say, preacher, explain Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And folks, I don't know whether you understand it, and I think we're spoiled here, and we maybe don't get it. But folks, let me just every once in a while say this. You know what? This church in this little town and what God is doing through this church is an absolute miracle. It's an absolute miracle. It's been something nobody's ever been able to explain, and most people tend and the things they can't understand or explain, they want to criticize and critique and throw stones at. But let me just say this. If there is a secret why God has chosen to bless this church, I believe it is because historically at this church, we have insisted that Jesus Christ stay preeminent. This isn't about lifting up a man. This is about lifting up Jesus. This isn't about trying to collect a bunch of big shots together and all of us sit around shooting at each other trying to decide who the biggest big shot is. That's not what it's been about, and that's not what it's ever going to be about as long as I'm at the helm here. Let's keep Jesus in the forefront. Let's keep him as the preeminent, predominant one. Let's use this church to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe this. It has to start with the pastor. So let me preach to myself for a minute. You can listen in, all right? The pastor is to promote Christ as the preeminent one. Christ is to be invoked. Christ is to be exalted. One of the attributes of a carnal church, the carnal church of Corinth, is that the members of the congregation, remember in Corinth first chapter, the members of the congregation were more loyal to earthly leaders than they were the eternal Lord. And folks, that can never be. It can never be if the church is going to be right. There's no other foundation that can be laid except the Lord Jesus Christ. If you go to 1 Corinthians, we won't go there, but one of the things that God uses Paul to do through inspiration to try to fix this carnal church is he begins to diminish the importance of men and exalt the importance of the Lord Jesus Christ. He does that for the first three chapters nonstop. You know what? Wasn't it John the Baptist that said that he must increase and I must decrease? And I believe as long as we keep that mentality, folks, from the pulpit, you know what? Support your pastor in promoting the Lord Jesus Christ as being the preeminent one. I told this story several years ago, but I get all kinds of things free in the mail and here at the church. Nothing really worth anything, but all kinds of samples. The one thing I never hardly ever have to do is buy an ink pen, because all these ink pen companies want to send us free samples of ink pens. And so I rip them open, take the pen out, throw everything in the trash, and keep the pen. And they found ingenious ways of, they'll send me one that has the name of the church on it. They'll send me one that has our theme verse on it. They'll send me one that has the service times on it. And I'm thinking, how do they even know these things? Well, a couple years ago, I pulled out a pen, threw the package away, free pen, praise the Lord. And I looked at it, and as I'm looking at the pen is looking back at me because I'm looking at myself. They somehow had found a picture of me and put it on an ink pen. On an ink pen. And it said, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, Pastor Jerry Ross welcomes you. And I look, and there I am. And I think, first of all, it's kind of scary because I'm thinking, How did they get my picture? And then I realized that I think somewhere on our website, if you click enough buttons, you got to click several, but if you work real hard, you can find a picture of me somewhere on our website. And those rascals went to our website and took a picture of me and put it on an ink pen and sent it to me and was going to sell me Jerry Ross ink pens. And so I looked at that and I said to myself, you know what? I am holding in my hand the only Jerry Ross ink pen that will ever exist on the planet, because this church is not about Jerry Ross. And this church isn't about promoting an individual or person. And you know what? A pastor that keeps his eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, remember, you know what? He must increase, I must decrease. He's got a good chance of keeping God's blessing on his church. Say, where'd you learn that? I learned it from Pastor Robert Ross. I learned it from my dad, who used to say this, the most dangerous place to stand is between God and his glory. And you know what? One of the things, you know, if you were under his ministry, you know he was insistent upon that God would get the glory for every single thing that happened here at this church. I went years ago into a man's church, and I couldn't believe it. And really not a bad guy. And God was blessing his church. He was a pastor, and God was blessing his church. And I mean, it was growing, and some unusual things were happening. And he asked me to come over and speak. This is back when I was the assistant pastor here. He asked me if I could go speak on a Sunday night. And so I talked to Dad. He said, that'd be fine. I snuck away, went to preach in this guy's church. And I was excited to go and attend there. I'd heard good things about it. God's blessing was on it. It seemed to be growing, prospering. And I walked in the front door of the church, and right above the doors that went into the auditorium. I mean, just about like our church. You walk in the foyer, and then you go in those double doors, you come to the auditorium. Right above the doors was hanging a picture this wide and this tall. It was an oil painting, an oil portrait of the pastor. Can you imagine coming in next Sunday, Blessed Old Baptist Church, you know? And there I am, posed, you know. I'm a big, giant picture. What? And I literally looked up at it, and he was already embarrassed. You know, you could tell. He was kind of, well, he said, you know, some of the people, you know, they thought it was a good idea. My wife wanted blah, blah, blah. What? Your people and your wife? Well, let me tell you something. From that moment, I thought to myself, this church is in trouble. Yeah, you know what? It's his church. Hey, you know what? It's their decision. You know, they didn't ask my opinion. The only comment I had when I saw it was, are you having a problem with rodents? Is there a, you know, did Orkin come and hang that up? Because I'm pretty good at trying to help people that are going up. I try to help bring them back to reality from time to time, you know. And by the way, I've got members that do that for me on a regular basis. So it's good. It's good. It's a blessing. And so I'm kind of giving a hard time about it. But honestly, in my heart, I had fear in my heart. And folks, listen to me. Watch this. I sit there and watch that ministry for the next couple years after that, and it dwindled, and sin got into it, and it exploded, and it died, and it's gone, and they sold the property, and what once was a lighthouse for the Lord Jesus Christ is just a memory. You know what? I don't want that to happen here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Let's keep Jesus in the forefront. So the pastors promote Jesus as preeminent. People are to uphold Jesus Christ as preeminent. In 3 John, we read, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loved to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I remember his deeds, which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Now, when we will go back to study this, the Apostle John, again, by inspiration, God used him to write and rebuke a man in the church by the name of Diotrephes, the Bible says, who loveth to have the preeminence among them. Now, think about this, folks. Let me just ask you a question. I think, you know, we've got a good church, and I think we get this. But you know what? I want us to make sure we keep getting it, okay? Are you about Jesus Christ or are you about you? Because that's a fair question. It's a fair question to ask the pulpit and it's a fair question to ask the pew. And you know what? Blessed Hope Baptist Church is going to get in trouble the day that we begin to be about us and not about the Lord Jesus Christ. See, the greatest church killers in the world, the greatest church killers in the world are not the sodomites. They're not the drunks, they're not the blasphemers, they're not the atheists, they're not the liberal politicians, and they're not false teachers. The greatest church killers in the world are church members who love to have the preeminence. They want to be first. They want to be important. They want to be recognized. What they think becomes more important to them than what the Bible says. Watch this. They develop an I problem, capital I problem. Soon their appetite for attention and accolades poisons their spirit, poisons their service, poisons their sincerity. Say, preacher, give us some verses. Watch this. Jesus was on his way to Capernaum. And the Bible says, and being in the house, he asked them, what was it that you disputed among yourselves, by the way? He turned around and asked his disciples a question. He said, I heard you arguing about something as we were traveling. What were you disputing amongst yourselves about? But they held their peace. You know why they were embarrassed? Why? For by the way, or on the journey, they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. And he sat down and called the 12 and said to them, if any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all. And you know what? Jesus took care of that thing right away. And he said, you know, he's trying to train 12 men. And one of these days, he's going to go to the cross and go to a tomb and then go on to glory. And he's going to turn this thing over to these 12 men. He ended up being 11 of them, 11 of these men. And you know what he had to fix in them as part of the discipleship process? You know what he had to put in them to make sure that they didn't mess this thing up? He said, get off this who's the greatest thing. Stop worrying about who's the greatest. Get off that kick. You guys are literally, we're walking to do ministry from one town to another, and all the things you could be rejoiced over and excited about and all the ways you could be edifying each other, and you're arguing about who the greatest of the disciples are, whether James is greatest or Peter's greatest or John's greatest or Thomas is a what? And he sets them straight right away. In John chapter 1, we see the wonderful example of John the Baptist. This is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? The Jews sent priests and Levites. They wanted to ask John the Baptist, who are you? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, what then, art thou Elias? And he saith, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, no. Then said they unto him, who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? Here it is. Watch this question right here. This question is so important. What sayest thou of thyself? What a question. What a question. And he said, here's his answer. I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. And they asked him and said unto him, why baptizest thou then, if thou be not the Christ, nor Elias, neither the prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who cometh after me, is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet. I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done beyond Jordan where John was baptized. And the next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Say, preacher, who are you? I'm just a voice. That's what we all better be. You know, he had a chance to promote himself. He had a chance to make sure that everyone knew who the prophet was that was down preaching by the river. He had an opportunity for self-promotion. He had a chance to get his name, create a buzz with his, who are you? I'm just a voice. I'm just a voice. He must increase and I must decrease. There cometh one after me, he's preferred before me. You know what? I can't find evidence anywhere in this conversation where he ever tells them his name. You know why? Because John the Baptist wasn't sent to promote John the Baptist. John the Baptist was sent to promote the Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, what an example. Hey, let me just say this to every one of you. Say, preacher, man alive, God's using me. And that's a good thing. And God's blessing me. Yes. And preacher, the part of the ministry that I'm involved in, God's hands upon it. Yes. Let me say this. Stay little. Stay humble. Stay in awe that God would use you at all. Because the minute that begins to go to your head, let me tell you something, you're in trouble. And pretty soon, you know what? God says, if you'll humble yourself, I'll exalt you. If you exalt yourself, I'll abase you. And you know what? God's always kept his word in that area. The man who begins to exalt himself, God will abase. And the man who's willing to abase himself, God will exalt. You let God do the exalting and don't do any self-promotion. And if God uses you in any way, do this. To God be the glory, great things he hath done. I say this from time to time, so let me just say it. This is no place for big shots. I'm just telling you, Blessed Old Baptist Church isn't that church. If you need the spotlight, you're going to be frustrated here. If you constantly need to hear the applause of men or some human following you around with verbal accolades so that you can feel good about it, you're going to be frustrated here. If you're just looking for a title, we don't give out titles, but we got jobs. We got a lot of work. You know what we're looking for? Servants. Because the servant, honestly, according to Jesus, was the greatest of all. There's no celebrity church members here. I told you this story, but several years ago, I was knocking on doors, and a guy said, Blessed Oak Baptist Church, Blessed Oak Baptist Church. And he said, I don't know if I know anybody that goes there or not. Who's the big names in your church? And he asked me that. I've never heard that question. I just kind of took a step back. I said, what? Well, who's the big names in your church? As if I threw out some of the big shot names around here, he might recognize it. And I didn't have this list that day, but I'm going to give it to you. Say, preacher, who are the big names of Blessed Hope Baptist Church? Well, he's Advocate. He's the Almighty. He's the Alpha and the Omega. Here's the big names. He's the Amen. He's the Apostle of our profession. He's the atoning sacrifice for our sins. He's the Author of Life and the Author and Perfecter of our faith. He's the beginning and the end, the blessed and only ruler. That's the big names around here. The bread of God, the bread of life, the bridegroom, the chief cornerstone, the chief shepherd. He's the Christ, the creator, the deliverer, the eternal life, the door, the faithful and true, the faithful witness. Preacher, who's the big names at Blessed Hope Baptist Church? The faithful and true witness. He's the first and the last, the firstborn from the dead, firstborn over all creation. He's God. He's the good shepherd. He's the great shepherd. He's the great high priest. He's the head of the church, heir of all things, the high priest, holy and true, holy one, hope, hope of glory, horn of salvation. He's the I am, the image of God, Emmanuel, judge of the living and the dead, king eternal, king of Israel, king of the Jews, king of kings, king of the ages. He's the lamb without blemish, the last Adam, the life, the light of the world, the lion of the tribe of Judah. He's the living one, the living stone. He's the Lord of all, the Lord of glory. He's the mediator of the new covenant, the mighty God, the morning star, the offspring of David, the only begotten son. He's a preacher. Who's the big names at Blessed Hope Baptist Church? He's the power of God, the precious cornerstone, the prophet. He's rabbi, resurrection and life, righteous branch, righteous one. He's the rock, the root of David, the ruler of God's creation, the ruler of the kings of the earth. He's our Savior. He's the Son of David, the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Son of the Most High. He's the source of eternal salvation for believers, the one mediator, the stone the builders rejected, the true bread, the true light, the true vine, the truth, the way, the wisdom. He is the Word. He is the Word of God. And folks, listen to me. Besides those names, I can't come up with any big names at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Now, it's important that the pulpit make sure that we keep Jesus Christ preeminent. It's important that the pew keep Jesus Christ preeminent. Folks, listen, I'm not a novice. I've seen this for a long time. I've done this for a long time. I've been in and out of a lot of churches. I've helped a lot of pastors try to fix church messes. And can I say this? Almost every single problem I've ever seen in a church crops up when there's a couple people that decide that they want the throne, they want the crown, they want the glory in the church. Now, let's not be that church. Let's not be that church. All right, let's be the exception to that. The preaching is to proclaim Christ as preeminent. So the pastor's supposed to do it, the people's supposed to do it, the preaching's supposed to do it. Say, preacher, what are you doing today? I'm lifting him up. How about 1 Corinthians 1:17? For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it's the power of God. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greek, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. 2 Corinthians 2:12, furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened unto me of the Lord. 2 Corinthians 4:5, for we preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Christ's sake. Galatians 1, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. My life verse, Ephesians 3:8, unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. I love this statement. I love this quote. Watch this. One man said this: a great sermon is not one when delivered leaves people saying, what a preacher. A great sermon leaves people saying, what a savior. Oh, I like that. I've got that written in my Bible. Listen, folks, I believe in 2015 as never before. We're on the threshold of a brand new year. I want Jesus Christ to be preeminent in the preaching here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I believe our church program is to emphasize Christ as preeminent. But unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Our church program, our themes, our outreach, our efforts, our energies, our passion, our direction, our impact, our focus must always be Christ-centered and Christ-honoring. No matter what ministry you're in, let me ask you a question. Is Christ being exalted in that ministry? I hope on bus 101 this morning on the way to church, Jesus Christ was lifted up. I hope in bus 202 on their way to church, Jesus Christ was lifted up. I hope bus 303, Jesus Christ was lifted up. I hope bus 404, Jesus Christ was lifted up. I hope bus 505, Jesus Christ was lifted up. Hey, I hope from the nursery all the way to the adult class and every Sunday school there was a teacher that was lifting up the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me give you this in closing. You say, why? Why, preacher? Why? Why work so hard to lift him up? Why work so hard to give him the preeminence? John 12:32, Jesus said, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. So there's a reason that we do it. Because the more that we lift him up, the more people are drawn to the Lord Jesus Christ. And folks, it really is about him. Hey, would you keep that in mind? Would you make a promise and a vow to God this morning to keep December sacred? To separate it for its rightful purpose? And in everything that you do, keep the Lord Jesus Christ preeminent. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to stand and represent you this morning. Thank you for allowing this preacher to be just a voice. And Lord, as John the Baptist so eloquently taught us, to just point people to the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. There's not a a problem that a person is facing in this room that they cannot get help for through the Lord Jesus Christ. There's not a situation and circumstance of life that's greater than Him. And Lord, if a person is here this morning, anybody, has never been saved, I pray for them, Lord. I want to see them saved. They're trying to do something that You never intended for them to do. They're trying to live this life without God, live this life without the Lord Jesus. Can't imagine. So I pray, Lord, that they would see their need of the Lord Jesus Christ. They would fall under conviction of sin and realize that it was Jesus that was that Lamb of God that took away the sins of the world. Thank You, Jesus, for coming. Thank You for living a perfect life. Thank You for taking my sins and the sins of all of mankind upon You. Thank You for dying for those sins. Thank You, Lord, that after You were buried for 3 days, You rose again. And thank You, Lord, that if we'll put our faith and trust in the finished work, Your finished work on Calvary's cross, Lord, that we can be saved. Lord, I pray that You would use this invitation time to draw sinners to Yourself, Lord, and the lost to salvation. I pray for us as Christians, oh God, may there be a reset button hit in our lives. May we examine carefully, Lord, the method and the motivation of our life. May we make sure that this is about Jesus. All that we do, it's about Jesus. We pray these things in His name.